Hey everyone, welcome to this week's sermon podcast of Be Church. Here, you can listen to our latest weekly sermons for your spiritual growth. We believe that this message will really bless you.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. So I haven't seen everybody this morning yet. So help me, look around, see who you haven't wished them a happy new year. If you look at somebody and you haven't seen them yet this morning, tell him this is going to be the best year yet. Amen. It's going to be. Amen. It's a new year. It's a new season. And I was preparing for this message. I really felt that the Lord was speaking and he was saying that this is going to be a year where he's prepared us. Everything is ready. We just got to go. So we're going to move this year and it's not going to take a lot of time. We're going to get word and we're going to get stuck in and we're going to go. Amen. So that's what I'm believing for. I believe the Holy Spirit is saying the preparation is done. We're going to go now. So the thought for today's sermon is that we don't have any baggage to take with. Who knows that when you want to run and you want to get going, you can't still take baggage with. You can't still take things from your past with. You can't still take things that happened to you years and years ago with. To go into a place that God has promised you, because then you won't be whole. Amen. So, okay, we're going to get into the scriptures quickly. Luke 17, verse 11. There's going to be a lot of scriptures, so let's see. And as it happened, he went into Jerusalem and passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood off afar, and they lifted up their voice and they said to Jesus, "Master, have mercy on us." So when Jesus saw them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." So there's a reason for him doing that. We'll get to that just now. And as they went, and so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them that saw he was cleansed or healed returned in a loud voice, a mega voice, and he glorified God, and he fell down at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So that's just the base of where we're going to go with this morning. We want to break it down a little bit. So there were 10 men, 9 of them were Jews, and 1 was a Samaritan. And funnily enough, or tragically enough, the one that was a Samaritan came back and gave God glory. Amen. So just keep that in the back of your mind, because we're going to go around there just now. Verse 17, so Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Were there not 10 healed? Where are the other 9? There's only 1. And were there not found any who would return and give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise and go your way." And see what Jesus says here. Your faith has made you whole. So I want us to look now. There's two words being used here. In the first part of the verse, the word cleansed or healed is being used, and in the second part, after the Samaritan comes and worships Jesus, the word whole is being used. So let me just explain for a second what whole means. Whole is, in the Greek translation, means complete, restored, undivided, whole or without division or lacking any parts. That's whole. Healed means whatever you had wrong with you is not wrong with you anymore, but it doesn't mean made whole. Amen. Are we getting the picture? So we're going to go around that. So I want to talk this morning about being made whole. If we want to go into a season that's been promised us, we can't go there without being whole. So there's so many things. I believe this year, I honestly believe, I've been so restless in December. We were working, my wife and I were working most of December, and it's been so restless because I just feel that it's like you're standing at the starting blocks when you're going to run a race, and I'm just waiting for the gun. Because something's going to happen this year. I mean, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And we all have to agree that we're going to move this year. This tent's going to be a building by the end of this year. Amen. And I was at Yakusal the other day, and I felt the Holy Spirit say that us are going to build this church. We're going to build it. We're not going to have contractors in here building it. We're going to build it. We're going to do it. We're going to come like in the old days and get together, and these guys are going to do this and that and the next thing. And when you come, there will be a church here, a proper building. So you got to get your head right, amen? That's what we're going to do this year. We're going to work. So for a second, I just want to talk about being made whole. And then to do that, we got to just visit the leprosy part, because God likens leprosy to sin. Okay, so it's going to be interesting. This message is interesting. God likens leprosy to sin. Some interesting parallels between leprosy and sin is the 10 lepers suffering the same disease. They were a little group. They all had leprosy. This is a terrible disease, church. You know, we don't know this in our society today, but in the days of old, leprosy was terrible. Facing the same tragic death, all of them that were in the group had the same end result, and it wasn't going to take 100 years, and they had reached that result. But the process to get there was terrible. It was traumatic. All of them literally watching a part of your body decaying and infest and getting infested and sometimes even fall off. So because in its worst and final stages of leprosy, parts of your hands and legs and arms and things fall off. Ears, eyes, it's imagine that, it's terrible. So you're burying a part of who you were every day. You wake up tomorrow, there's something left when you get up. You're left behind. It's terrible. Entire arms, sometimes body parts, ears, nose, your eyes. There's a good chance that in the further stages you couldn't even see or hear anymore. When you were a leper, you were an outcast. People didn't want you close to them. Think about sin. When you are a sinner and you're living in sin, people see that. They don't want you near them. It's a sad truth. No hope for tomorrow, no dreams, nothing to look forward to. You had to scavenge to survive when you were a leper. You weren't even allowed inside the city gates, the city walls. You had to go stay outside. There where the city people would throw all the refuge, the rubbish, you would be there. That's what you were considered when you were a leper. No invitations would ever come to a Christmas party or a birthday party or an anniversary because nobody wanted you there. They were scared you infect them. No human touch. The incubation period of leprosy, listen to this, is between 1 and 20 years. You can be sick for 5 years and nobody knows. You don't even know. It's a slow-growing bacteria. Often the person was unaware. It could start with a speck just in your eyelid and then grow and grow and grow to the point where it manifests. By that time, you're already very sick. It's just a small thing. It's like sin. It's a small thing in your life. Nobody notices it, but you know. Nobody notices you're sick, but you know. So one of the interesting aspects or effects of leprosy is that it kills off all the nerve endings. It kills off the nerve endings so that you can't feel anymore. Initially, when you start sinning and you start doing something wrong, who knows that when you did something you're not supposed to, yes, it worries you. The whole day till you get home and you're sitting having supper and you're like, yes, man, why did I do this? And tonight when you go to bed, you lie there and you're like, Lord, sorry for this. Yes, I don't know how I fell into this trap, but please forgive me and I repent and I ask Father that I come back. True? Not true? It's the same thing. But in 2-3 days' time, you find yourself back in that place again, doing the same thing. And this time, it doesn't feel so bad. It doesn't feel so bad. It's like, And a couple of weeks down the road, you're actually looking forward to finishing work because I want to go home and do that thing. That doesn't worry you anymore. Your nerves, your senses, your ability to feel and to connect is gone now. It's dead. Or it's numb. Amen? So I was thinking of a few examples, and there's alcohol. Who knows how alcohol works? It starts with a beer or a glass of wine. And a couple of days down the road or a couple of weeks or months, it's a whole bottle while you're having a dinner or something. And the next thing you know, it's every night. And the next thing you know, you're staying up late at night so that you can drink. I know. I've been there. So you stay awake so that you can, that effect can take place in your body. It's not a beer anymore. No, beer is not enough anymore. Get in your car after work, buy 6 beers on the way home. When you get home, drink a bottle of brandy, then you go and sleep. I know. That's how it looks like. That's what it looks like. Started with a beer in the army. That's all. Drugs. Somebody might introduce you to some kind of, I don't know anything about drugs, luckily. But the same effect takes place. And when you look again, that's not enough. You've got to have something a little bit stronger or a little bit more. And it gets to the place where that will kill you. Same as alcohol will. Same as any addiction will. Same, in fact, as any sin will. When you get to the place where you don't have control over that anymore. It's like leprosy. Amen? When the sin really gets hold of somebody, you lose all the feelings and emotions and the ability to understand what you're doing. Victims feel no pain because their nerves, their desensitization is so strong that you don't know anymore what's happening. It's been replaced with a desire to have that which you're not supposed to have. And that desire just grows and grows and grows. Is it a hard message? There's hope. There's hope. So this leper, this Samaritan comes and falls at Jesus' feet and he worships him. He worships him and Jesus makes him whole. There's the hope. So this kind of worship, church, what are we talking about? We're talking about a worship that is not because of what God is doing for you or done for you or going to do for you. This worship is understanding who God is. And just even just sitting and being in his presence. Being in, just say, Lord, it's just so nice for me to be here. This is the worship we're talking about. Amen. When you worship God just for who he is, there's no strings attached. Look, I have long lists of things I ask God. Oh, man, you must hear them. But sometimes in the mornings I'll wake up and I'll go and make us a cup of coffee and open the doors and it's dark outside, the sun's coming up and we just sit, we don't talk, Leslie and I, we just, Lord, you are so wonderful for what you've done for us. It is such an awesome thing to know God is where you are. That's worship. Amen. This has nothing to do with your dreams or your visions or your desires or answered prayers. It's got nothing to do with whether God has or hasn't been there for you. It's just, Lord, I want to be in your presence and I just want to feel you. That worship. Everything is not perfect in my life, Lord, but I will worship you. I haven't had the breakthrough, Father, that I want. How many people are waiting for a breakthrough? Yaku spoke about it in the huddle. Everybody's got a word from God. Everybody has a word from God. If somebody hasn't given you a word, the Holy Spirit's given you a word. If he hasn't, come, there's a prophet in the house. He can pray for you. But everybody has a word. So God hasn't answered you, so you don't want to worship him. Or you don't want to be in his presence. Careful. I haven't got the deal or the contract yet, but I will worship you. So we're in construction. I don't want to take too long. I've got a timer here. We're in construction, so we often do tenders and things, and we get, and sometimes we'll even get the answer from the guys and say, you've been awarded a tender, this and this, and then later I'll say, yes, great, that's good. This is going to, we can maybe buy a new machine or whatever the case is. But we always pray and say, Lord, let this be for good for us. Let it be good for us. It mustn't be harmful to us. And then sometimes the tender will get taken away, we lose the tender, or the tender just doesn't come to fruition. And I know what it is. It's because that would have not been good for us. It's not always financial, church. It's not even, sometimes when you don't get the finances you're praying for, it's not a bad thing. Because it could have gone into something that would have been harmful to you or your family. So when you say to God, Lord, let it be good for me, then mean it. Don't be annoyed with him if he doesn't answer your prayer. Because God knows what's better for you. I'm not healed yet. I'm sick in my body. I'm not healed. But I will worship you, Lord. I will worship you. Luke 17:14. When he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Why did Jesus tell them to go and show themselves to the priest? Remember, these people had been living outside the city walls. So they had there's no pastor that went there and ministered to them. They've been living outside between 1 and 20 years before some people even got sick. So some of them might have been there 30 years already, even longer. So Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priest. to the priest. Why? Because some things, and I'm not being hard, I just want to give you a better revelation, can't be fixed by you coming to church and asking Apostle Vuma to pray for you. It can't be. That's unfair. It can't be fixed by getting the team of ministry people here to come and pray for you. It can't be. You need to get in the house of the Lord to hear the word, to get revelation, to get the anointing. That's how you get healed. You can't just pitch up and get, oh, he prayed for me and didn't work, go home. You have to be under the anointing. God has to touch you day after day after day, week after week. You have to live in the anointing of what the Holy Spirit wants to do. There's something you can do. There's something you can do when you're living in that sin and a little bit of you is getting taken away every day, like what happens to the leper. You're sick and you're getting sicker and sicker. That's what sin does. You get into the house of the Lord, and every day you're here, you might find that you come and you're not feeling well today, or you're annoyed about something that happened in your family or whatever, but you come. You come and God will touch you every time that you're here. Sacrifice is a blessing. If you sacrifice, you give God, He gives you. There's no two ways that of that principle. He will give you. There's only one way you get away from that, and that is being in the temple of God. You see, leprosy and sin have got the same construct, and that is to divide. So if you get leprosy, you get divided from your people and you get sent outside the wall. If you sin, you divide yourself from your people. What happens is you don't want to be amongst the people in the church or in the cell group, or you don't want to be on the group, the Bible group or the Bible study group, because you're afraid they find out what you're busy with. And then once you're there, you don't want to come back, because now I have to tell Dandre, pray for me, I'm busy with this. And I don't want him to know, because I'm standing here in front of the church, or you might be in the ministry team or stuff. So that shame keeps you away from coming back. So you get divided from your people. You get divided from the support. How many do you, people know that we will support you? We support each other. When you're in the cell groups and in the community, in the church, we support you. We don't know what to do for you if you don't tell us. We don't know how to help you if you're hiding away. Amen? You need to tell us. You need to stay here. Even if you do things that are out of lines, don't stay away. Come, and somebody will say, hey man, what's wrong? I said to someone this morning, it looks like you, what's happening? And the guy said, no, I'm a bit tired. But you see when somebody's battling, and you can ask them and pray for them. So Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priest, because he wants you to be in the house of the Lord. He wants you to be in the anointed teaching. When your dreams are dying everywhere, you have a funeral of your dreams every day. How many people have New Year's resolutions? Are you scared I'm gonna point finger at you? See, in December, everybody's chilling like at home, this year the paunch is too big, or I'm going to gym, or I'm going to get fit. I'm going to educate myself or what? Do you know what you're doing? You're putting pressure on yourself before the year started. Don't do that. Just get it in your heart that I'm going to do this year and do it. Don't make promises and tell everybody. You put so much pressure on yourself. Because then what happens? As the year goes, you start bearing those hope things. Yes, I couldn't do that. And then eventually there's condemnation. All the promises I made myself, not one came through. What's the point? You're just putting pressure on yourself, baggage, chains on your feet. Don't do that. Just do what you think you're going to do without making all the commitments and putting so much pressure on yourself you can't function. And as they went, they were healed. And as you keep coming to church, you will be healed. Sometimes you might come when you're not feeling well, as I said. But the more time you spend here, the more you learn. The more you learn, the more that revelation takes effect in your heart. And the more revelation you get about the Word of God, the more power you have. And the more you can be expectant of what God's going to do in your life. 9 out of the 10 lepers' priority, once they were healed, were to run away. They all went home. Imagine, you haven't seen your family for so long. You haven't seen your loved ones. So they're all gone. And the one guy comes back, and God just touches him in a different way. God makes him whole, complete, no lacking parts, altogether unbroken, undivided, undamaged. You know, even to this day, medicine is so advanced, but if for example, leprosy has taken your arm or your hand or your fingers or stuff, there's no medicine that will regrow your finger or your arm or your... Nothing. You can put a plastic one on, but it's not the same. Jesus makes you whole when you come and worship, when you sit in the house of the Lord. There's no fake. There's no artificial. There's no substitute. It's a real thing. Amen. So the reality is why does Jesus make somebody whole and the other one he just healed? See, when the man came back, the Samaritan came back, Jesus had to show his appreciation for his worship. So what is it that makes him whole? He makes him whole. Why does he do that? So that he doesn't have to walk around amongst these people after being with Jesus with the scars that he had. Because now he doesn't look like the issues that he's been through. He doesn't look like he had leprosy anymore. Remember, the 9 people still have all the manifestations of having leprosy. They still got no fingers, ears, or whatever the case is. But this guy is 100% whole. And he's not even a Jew. So if Jesus did it for the Samaritan, why won't he do it for us? You just got to be in a place where you connect with Jesus. Amen? The one who came back said to him, verse 19, and he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. You see, this is what worship can do for us, church. But oftentimes when you sit with somebody and talk to them, we've had it before where somebody, when you talk to somebody about this, they say, what do you know about addiction? What do you know about abuse? What do you know about being beaten as a child? What do you know about divorce when your wife or husband was unfaithful to you? What do you know? I'm talking to my life. I've heard people say that. It's not that we don't know, church. It's that God has healed us from that. You can't see that anymore. We heal. God says in the Word, we made new. We are a new creation. So we don't carry those things, those chains with the balls in the back that keep you back so that you can see what I've been through. Why? Why? We don't have to see what everybody's been. I just want to see this godly man. I just want to see this godly woman. I don't need to know what you've been through. Because it's a constant reminder of where you failed, and God doesn't remind you where you failed. It's only the enemy that'll do that. The enemy loves telling you where you failed and why you can't be used by God. God says, come as you are. Just because you look like that, it doesn't mean God can't use you. I'm going to make it an example. Apostle Woman, last year, you guys know, the family went through a terrible thing. They were held up. They were held up by people with guns in their own house, and they feared for their lives. But if you don't know them, you'll look at them, and you'll never be able to tell that they've been through that, because God has healed them. You can't see that. Pastor Eckert and them have had tragic loss in their life. You look at him, you won't say that. There's so many people here that have gone through so many things that God has healed you from, that other people will never know about it unless you be told. And that's the point that God wants to make here. He says, I will heal you to the point where nobody knows what you've been through. You will not look like that scar that you've been through. Amen. Jesus can take people that have been through bankruptcy. There's people like that in this church. Addiction, sorrow, divorce, brokenness, heartache, trauma. He'll take you and he'll restore you if you give him a chance. Come to the temple, sit under the anointed teaching, worship him. He can take them and heal them so that they don't look like what they've been through. Daniel 3 verse 19. It's the story of Nebuchadnezzar. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are a little bit, they're not listening. They get thrown into the fire. Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury and expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he said to them, and he commanded that the furnace be made 7 times its normal heat. So I was an apprentice steel worker at ISCO when I was a young guy. I know what a furnace does. We used to melt and forge and do all these kind of things, make different kinds of steel out of molten steel. So that was just part of our training as apprentices. A furnace church is made to burn stuff up, or to melt steel, or to it's not a pizza oven. Looks like it, but it's not. It's also not a braai. It's a furnace. It's designed to burn stuff away. And then you make it 7 times hotter, and then you throw these 3 guys in, tie them up, and throw them in. And because they weren't listening, and so the king was astonished. Now the king goes and he looks, because he wants to see what happened now, because there's all this happening, and these guys don't want to obey him. So let's see. So the king goes and he looks, and he's astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to the counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?" And they answered him and said, "O king, true. Yes, we did. We put 3 men in the fire, and we tied them up and threw them in." Verse 25, Luke answered, "I see 4 men loose." They're not tied anymore. They're loose. "Walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God." So the mathematicians will say there's a formula. So it looks like 3 plus 7 times hot fire is 4. Amen? So what is it telling you? What is it saying? If you want to be used by God, then you're going to go through a fire, church. You're going to go through the fire, but the trick is you're going to go through. You're not going to stay there. Amen? But listen to this. Nebuchadnezzar went near to the mouth of the fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego," remember now, he's seen them, they're not tied up anymore. Now suddenly he says, "Servants of the Most High God." And isn't that just human nature? When you're groveling and you're addicted and you're battling and you're in the valley, no one wants to know you. But when you go through and you walk through the other side and God has set you free, suddenly now everybody knows who you are. Now suddenly you are the servant of the Most High God. But just now you threw me in the fire. That's why God doesn't want you to wear what you've been through when you help people and when you minister to people. You knew. He wants everybody to see what he's done for you. There's no remembrance of who you were. "Come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire, and the satraps, administrators, and governors, and the king's counselors gathered together. And they saw these men and whose bodies the fire had no power. So there's no damage from the fire. 7 times hotter. The hair on their heads was not singed, nor were their garments affected. And the smell of fire wasn't on them. So every aspect has been cleaned. That's what it happens to you when you come to a church like this and you stay under the anointed teachers and you worship. The devil wants you to look and smell like what you've been through, because it's a reminder of who you are and what you've done. But when you start coming to this church or a church similar, God takes the smells away. He takes the bondage away. He takes the chains and balls away so that you can move forward. His name was Legion, Mark 5:9. We did this when we did the conference. Because he was possessed by many devils. I was chatting to a guy the other day. I said to him, we were talking, and I said, "Demons." I said, "Oh, wait. No," he says, "there's no such thing as demons. No such thing. Angels, demons, no. Jesus died on the cross, so all that's gone. It's just Jesus, Holy Spirit, God." So I said, "Okay, I need to get you a Bible." You don't know what's in the Bible. A legion, according to military terms, 6,000 men. So there's leaders, commanders, all that. But altogether, what makes up a legion is 6,000. This man had 6,000 demons living in him. He would rip his clothes in the tombs. He lived in the tombs, and he would cut himself with stones to the point where he was so full of scars and scabs and stuff. You could hardly look. Imagine this guy, full of marks, full of cuts. And he has 6,000 demons living in him, walking around. The most amazing part of the story is when Jesus comes ashore in the area of the Gadarenes in the Bible, he says to the man with the 6,000 demons, the man comes and falls at Jesus' feet and worships him. He he's got 6,000 demons in him. He's just one person, 6,000 demons. Tell me, ask you a question. If he's got 6,000 demons in him and he comes and worships Jesus, what is our problem? Why don't we worship Jesus? Why don't we worship God? Why don't we sit in his presence, make time for him, so that we don't have these issues? We don't, because we're too busy with our stuff. Make time to worship Jesus. Amen. Nothing is authorized to stop your worship. Some people have sickness, they have cancer, so they stop worshiping. Or they got a disease. Or they don't have, they have lack. There's no, Yaku said it this morning. Even if you live without enough, stay in the presence of Jesus. Stay in the presence of God. Your story will change, I promise you. Your story will change. Opinions. Opinion isn't a reason for you to stop worshiping the Lord. Let me just summarize something quickly. If you do not believe that the Bible is the final authority over your life, listen nicely. If you don't believe that the Bible, which is the Word, which is Jesus, is the final authority over your life, you will be constructed and manufactured by people's opinions. You will not have a foundation to work from. You will be the person other people say you are. And most likely you will be this person there, and another person there. Because you have to live according to what other people think of you and say about you. You need to believe that the Bible is the final authority in your life. And as he worshipped Jesus, Jesus said to the man, "Demons, leave." What happens when he says, "Demons, leave"? Then addiction leaves. At the same time, prescription drugs, painkillers, pornography, that fear that you have leaves. The aggression you have, the anger you have towards people leaves. Unforgiveness that you have for people leaves. You can't be whole if you have these things. So Jesus cleans you. There's 6,000 things that leave. We don't know them all. But all these things leave when you're in the house of God. Jesus cleans you. He makes you whole. When the villagers came back, this man now that cut himself, that lived in the tombs, when the villagers came back, he sat there dressed at Jesus' feet. Because Jesus doesn't want anybody to know what he's been through. Imagine what he's been through for all the years living in the tombs, cutting himself. The hatred and the fear that he had. Nobody can see it. He's clothed. And in his right mind, the word says, God uses people with scars. If you're going through a hard time, know that God has a plan for you. And then he repairs you, he heals you, makes you whole. He'll make you whole. No abuse or rape, hurt, bankruptcy, disappointment will be on you. None. Amen. He doesn't want you to look like that for the rest of your life. But you know what we do? We stay in the graveyard. We stay there because it's comfortable. The rest of your life is fine, but you've got aspects where you stay in the graveyard because you don't want people to know about it. You don't want people, it's comfortable there. You don't want to start again. I want to tell a story of somebody who was using alcohol and he stopped for many, many years and then he started again. And then his excuse was, you know, I stopped for so many years. Now I've got to start all over again. But there's a thing. There's always a day one. There's always a day one. There's always a plan. Get out of there. Amen. If you battle with things like getting out of the routine in a specific part of your life that you need to change, come afterwards. Bande's team is here. They'll pray for you. We can pray for you after this. Worship is not something, church, that we just use to get to the sermon. Worship is a connection that you make with God. It's a connection that you make with the Holy Spirit. It's there where things get revealed to you because it's intimate. It's special. If you begin to worship God out of your pain, you know, I've been here and things have happened to us and why don't you come to church and you just sit. You don't have to say something. You don't have to be involved with people, but just sit and the anointing will come and it'll just lift your spirits and lift your spirit. That's what happens. You have saved me, Lord, and you have redeemed me. So I'd like to read 2 Joel 2:25 in closing. And that is, the Lord promises, I will restore you to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten, the crawling locusts, the consuming locusts, and the chewing locusts. My great army, which I have sent among you, you shall eat and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Amen. Amen. So that's the promise the Lord has for you. That's me done with the message. I just want to pray for us quickly, because I do feel that there's people that need to come just now when we finished. Let us just pray for you as the ministry team. Even if you have a family member that you know is caught up in these things, you can stand proxy for somebody. You can stand proxy for a family member or a friend that's in trouble. You can. In the spirit, there's no distance, people. You can pray for people. It's one of the things the Lord has asked us to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. I want to thank you, Lord, for the message this morning. I want to thank you, Lord, for the connection with the people, for the congregation that came out today, Lord. We want to just bless them. I want to honor them, Father. We want to pray for people this morning who battle to connect with you, Lord, who battle to worship, who don't understand the revelation of worship, Father, what it means, what it can mean to a family, Lord, a person, a family, somebody who's in sin, somebody who's an addict, somebody who has rage or fear, Lord, somebody who's just not at the right place. Father, we want to just pray for those people. We ask, Lord, that you give them the liberty to come out this morning. Father, we want to just pray for the house, Lord. We want to ask, Lord, that this year you bless the congregation. You bless every part and aspect of what we do here, Lord. We ask that you bless the mother and father of the house, Lord, in Jesus' name. We ask that you just anoint them afresh and give them the new strategies and the new plans for the year, Father. We just release over the congregation a willingness, Lord, for us all to just pick up and run. Father, we lose all the baggages that the people have, all the chains and the anchors and the stepping things that stop the steps where they kick their feet, Father. We ask that you fill up the valleys and chip off the mountaintops, Lord, so that we can move. This year is going to be such an awesome year, Lord. We thank you for everything that you have planned out for the year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to know more about who we are and what we do, go visit our website on bechurch.co.za. You're formed to function. Let's be church.